My work is done. So, good morning, church family.
Morning.
And Ryan says that and says it well. You are family. As I gaze out and look at each one of your faces, I really am filled with compassion and love and genuine excitement for who we are as a church and who we are in Jesus. Ryan did a great introduction of the family, but I'm going to add a little bit more here. Probably pretty obvious who my wife is, right? So it's wonderful, Alice over here. She has been my beyond best friend for the best part of 26 years now. We had our 25th wedding anniversary last month, and it's been an easy ride, guys. It's been an easy ride. You see Derek up here singing, so you know that we have our things in life that are going on. But the Lord is just so, so faithful. So, so faithful. So, we've introduced Alice. I'm Mark. Derek. And sitting next, yeah, right there. And sitting next to my wonderful wife is my extraordinary daughter. Myra is what I would aspire to be growing up. I didn't become a Christian until reasonably late in life. Myra, on the other hand, has known Jesus most of her life and really known Jesus most of her life. And I look upon her and I see Jesus. And she helped me a lot with this morning's message, with this morning's sermon. And I'm just so proud of you, baby girl. I'm just so, so proud of you. Somebody else I'd like to introduce this morning, if I may, is baby Hudson over there. He's 8 days old. And this is his first time at church. And this is my first time preaching, which reminds me of a story of me going to the deer processor when I was 45, unloading my deer next to a little kiddo who was 5. And so here I am, a 45-year-old, and there's a 5-year-old, both enjoying our first deer harvest. So, good to be a Texan, right? Okay, we have the two awesome kiddos that I just mentioned. Like Ryan said, we've been committed members here since 2003. We relocated to San Angelo from Waco. Oh, sorry. See, you guys have been like family for all those years. It's the way it is, guys. And so, Alice and I grew up in Australia. Kids were born in North Carolina. And you know how we got to be here in San Angelo is a mixture of tragedy to begin with, but not really. When we see how things unfold in Jesus and we see how people have adopted us as we're supposed to be. And this is the way of Jesus. And so I'm preaching now rather than introducing, but you get it right. So we're part of a small group that meets on Tuesday nights, our little tribe, and it's little at the moment. It's always open to people dropping in and fellowshipping with us. You're always welcome, regardless of your stage of life or even your situation in life. We travel a lot of ground in our small group, and it's just such a blessing to be a part of that even smaller group of people. So I really strongly encourage folks that aren't part of a small group to do so, become part of a small group. If you want to join our small group, then come and see Alice and I, or visit, I should say. You might not want to join after you visit, so we'll give you the chance of coming, right, first of all. So come see Alice or I, or one of the guys with lanyards on, and they'll help you get plugged into, you know, church in the way that church looked back in Acts, small, tiny, intimate, a place where we can really grow with each other. So would you mind just bowing your heads as I open us with another word of prayer. Father God, thank you that we get to experience your word and listen and obey in freedom. Would you come and let this message be your message? Cover the places that I'm lacking and speak to each person in a way that only you can through the Holy Spirit. To you be the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so into the word. To fully understand the passage for today, it's important to understand that the message of Romans as a whole and what God through Paul has been speaking. The book of Romans is a letter from Paul to the church in Rome, presenting a comprehensive explanation of the gospel. It emphasizes God's righteousness revealed through faith in Jesus Christ, and how this faith leads to salvation, transformation, and a new life lived in the Spirit. Romans explains the concept of justification, where believers are declared righteous by God's grace through Christ, not by our own works. So, first slide today is a quote from a guy called Jonathan T. Pennington, who captures the essence of Romans with the quote, "Our call is to faithfulness, not perfection, to joyful service, and not hand-wringing anxiety." So let that, you know, just settle for a second. In the ESV, Romans 12, 9 to 21 is titled as "The Marks of a True Christian." But what really are the marks of a true Christian? How are the knows that we truly believe in the unconditional love of Christ? That can be answered by the title of the passage as it's presented in the NIV version of the Bible. And that says, love in action. Love in action. The mark of a true Christian is love. In John 13, 35, Jesus says, "Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Not many words there. Pretty easy, right? Maybe. We'll see. Okay, so in every aspect of our lives, love and action is the ultimate gauge of who we are and what we're all about. It's the very heart of our worship. We love others as an expression of our love and gratitude to Jesus for the sacrifice he made for each of us by taking our sins upon himself and submitting to death. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." So how can we love each other is an integral part to our expression of faith. But what is love? Let's reread Romans 12, 9 to 13. These verses say, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." So one key thing that I notice in these verses is that we're called to genuine love, not perfect love. As imperfect humans, we're unable to fully and perfectly love anyone. God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit love perfectly, though. To me, genuine love means being willing to love even when it's hard. When you've got a hard day or had a hard day just before you, when another person is annoying you, when these things happen, our natural response is to run, to shut down, or to get mad and frustrated. But what if instead we chose to slow down, take a breath, and remember that the person in front of us is a child of God, who is worthy to be loved because God loved them first? What if instead of getting angry, we chose to reflect the love of God, which is unconditional, and slow to anger? Perhaps one of the most famous passages in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Which talks about the attributes of love. These verses say, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." What would happen if we chose to do all these things in our relationships with others? To intentionally be patient and kind. I'm sure we all agree the world would be a much better place. Like I said, it's impossible for us to do this perfectly, but there is grace. One thing that Mara says has been really helpful to her is stopping and just simply asking God, "How do you see this person?" And getting to the heart of them through revelation from God before actually interacting with the person. This simple question, God, how do you see this person, helps us to understand how God loves them and allows us to see them for who they are, children of God. And that helps us act in love towards them with compassion, understanding that love is a choice. In Romans 12:9, we're also told to abhor evil and to cling to what is good. Abhor means to 100% hate and not tolerate in the slightest something. It's a very strong word. Evil is sin manifested. We must look at ourselves and renounce any sin and instead cling to what is good. God is the source of all good. God's goodness is the key to our love. And what exemplifies that goodness better than the gospel? That Jesus would choose to sacrifice himself for us. To reflect this love, we must choose to be obedient in becoming servants to each other, as Christ chose to become a servant to us. One of the summer camps that Myra went on during, I think it was middle school, had this theme of, I am third. God first, others next, and then me. This teaching centered on being how Jesus lived his life. And absolutely, we look at scripture, we see, to Jesus, God is first, we're second, he's third, in his own choosing. Essentially, what this I am third is saying is that God wants us to share what we have with those around us who have physical and or emotional needs. It's practical. It really is practical. It was about sacrificing time, energy and money to lift one another up, but doing so only if done in the strength of the love of God. This idea is shown again in verse 13, where we're admonished, called to contribute to the needs of others and seek to show hospitality. Now, throughout our time here at San Angelo Redeemer, or Redeemer San Angelo, we've seen this kind of genuine servanthood and hospitality amongst you guys, the congregation. The way our family is genuinely loved by you is appreciated so much and truly makes so much difference in our lives. It stirs us Kingstons to get more excited about our walks with the Lord and encourage us to be involved in the church. This is what love does, folks. It invites and welcomes. It spurs us towards good work through faith. The second section of this passage is verse 15 and 16, and talks about the importance of Christian community. These verses say, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. In Genesis, we read that God made Adam and said, it is good. Then a few verses later, God goes on to say that it's not good that man be alone. So here is the perfect God in perfect communion with the perfect man saying, something's missing. Basically, I hear God saying something along the lines of, there's not enough of my character to fill the true image of who I am in a single human. So God makes Eve, and a community is established amongst humans, and God says it is very good. In this way, the community that God has as a Trinity is established within humanity, a much more complete image of God. Individual parts that are separate, but tightly woven. Verse 15 then becomes extraordinarily important as we understand that by God's design, we need to be tightly woven together and share life in all its manifestations with rejoicing and weeping seen as the extremities of our life, living experiences. This is why our leadership constantly encourages us to meet in small groups. And again, I also strongly encourage you to join a small group if one's not available. Small groups meant to be a safe place to grow, folks. A place where you can pour out your hearts to one another, where there's trust, where there's security, where you can mature as a Christian. And, you know, throughout my Christian walk, that is absolutely essential. And so I'm a big community guy, a big, big community guy. And I think that's really, you know, the essence of God, the will of God. Okay. But with this verse, be careful with the rejoicing part. Like love, rejoicing needs to be genuine. We need to ask ourselves, what is really in our heart? When somebody receives a blessing, but we think they don't deserve it, or we think it more, we deserve it more than they do, then that's not genuine rejoicing. That's not praising God. It's indulging in the sin of bitterness. And this is what our corporate prayer was all about this morning. Is when we're praising God, we're looking around us and we're saying, I see growth in this person. I see healing in this person. I see that this person is having aspects of fear removed from their lives. All very, very human things, but also very, very much spiritual things, and things that through Christ we identify and we work through in ever increasing ways that our love for Jesus grows. Yes. In the spirit of genuinely loving others, the way God loves us, verse 16 instructs us to have no division amongst us. This doesn't mean we have total agreement with each other. We're allowed to disagree. We're free to believe even that the Cowboys are better than any other team if we want. But who does that, right? That's the end of my teaching career. So anyway, but what we do need to agree on is the gospel. Okay? God's greatest desire for any human being is that he or she love God and love others. When asked, Jesus told those around him that the greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your mind. And that's from Matthew 22:37. Jesus then goes on in Matthew 22:39 and says, the second commandment's like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. We'll get into who your neighbour is soon. Okay. The final set of verses in this passage for today relates to loving all people, including non-believers who are not yet in our Christian community and are actively hostile towards us. These verses say, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For as written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give him something to drink. And by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. These verses will be difficult to obey if we try to do them in our own strength. Loving those who are hard for us to love is taxing and tiring and honestly nearly impossible if we try to do it on our own. However, we are called to lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus and to choose to walk in love and kindness towards those who curse us, by choosing instead to bless them, knowing that God will take care of judgment in his perfect, righteous way, not in our imperfect way. We are to be people who reflect the love of Jesus, which is unconditional, as we overcome evil with good. So now we've talked about love, what does it mean to be in action? To me, it's simply obedience. I recently came a quote from an unknown author which says, obedience to God is the kindest we will ever be to others. I'm going to read that again, folks. Obedience to God is the kindest we will ever be to others. Obeying God is what he's called us to do in loving one another. For me personally, the comprehension of Romans 12, 9 to 21 is not really a big issue. It's the obedience part that I'm continually convicted of, getting it from my head to my heart with joy and peace. And it's important that it's with joy and peace. Anyone else there, out there in the same boat as me? Okay, good. Must strive to be obedient to God in all that we do. And part of that striving to do everything we do in love and strive, to do everything we do in love from a place of sincere care for those around us. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3 says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and I have all faith so as to move or remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Church, Jesus' love is this perfect and genuine love. It is everything. In this love that compelled Jesus, to accept being nailed to the cross. His love, which led to his death. His death leading to our redemption. With our redemption, in turn, leading to our restoration. It is in our restoration where the kind of genuine love from Jesus that we've talked about fills us to overflowing. From this place, Jesus' love dwells in us. We can pour it out for the world to see. In doing so, we bless others with the love of Jesus. Through our love, the world sees the truth of Jesus. It's the circle of life. Can you see the love tonight? As such, I urge you, church, to do everything in love, not of your own strength or willpower, but through God's strength. We're only capable of genuinely loving people, including our enemies, if we abide in God. To abide means to be firmly joined to God, to lean on him in all things and trust him for all things. This joining comes about as we invest in the renewing of our hearts and minds to become more Christ-like, the journey of our sanctification. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. In my lifetime, like all of us, I've experienced hardships in loving people. One of those being betrayed in a very significant way by one of my own brothers and having to work through it to see what love really means, even when I don't feel like it. Forgiving my brother is a journey. It's not complete yet. I've been in that journey for many years. I've repented and forgiven him and laid it down at the cross and he picked it up again for a season, then to repeat. And this is not uncommon. This is how life is. This is how we grow. And we need to not beat ourselves up about our sinful nature, about how we want to return to things, how we would pull towards things. But to be cognizant, to be mindful and aware of that's happening, and to abhor it, like we said before, to be 100% against it. We can forgive and love more and more unconditionally by being more patient, kind, humble, slow to anger, but it needs to come from Jesus. In all circumstances we love because he first loved us. I just missed that little section there talking about, now of course my family lives back in Australia, so we just go to visit every 2-3 years. My brother's a very sick guy, like physically sick as well as emotionally sick. And just in preparing for this sermon, I've been so convicted about how I just don't bless him. I don't love him like I should, I don't bless him like I should. And so I'm letting you guys know, that standing up here, that that's my condition, that's where I'm at. And It's you guys around me and loving on me that's brought me to this place where I can stand here and talk to you guys about that. And my hope and prayer is that as those similar areas in your life come to mind, that you also seek the counsel, seek the community in which all of this nasty stuff, it really just goes away because we abide in Jesus, because we draw on his strength and his love. And again, we're in that safe place to really grow back into the creations that we were originally meant to be. So if we've got the timing right, there's somebody sitting up there on the projector. Have we got the timing right?
Yeah,
we've got the timing right. That's Poppy. That's right, Derek. That is Poppy. Poppy is 93 years old. He'll be 94 in October. Poppy had an interesting life. Poppy grew up in colonial Sri Lanka, and he was next to royalty in colonial Sri Lanka. And then there was the change in government and all of that kind of stuff where they became a republic, and his family's wealth was lost, rightly so, and divided amongst others. And so he immigrated to England, where he met my mum, and they immigrated to Australia when I was just a toddler. I'm showing a picture of my dad because my dad searched for Jesus until he was in his early 80s. And mum was Christian. I've been Christian since my 20s. And continual prayer's gone into that, right? Have a guess what let my dad become Christian. What made my dad become Christian? My dad came across a tribe of authentic believers. He came across a tribe of people who genuinely loved him and my mom as they were going through serious health issues for my mom. She passed away a couple of years ago of dementia. And it just was so blindingly obvious to him what he'd been missing and what he was searching for was here. It was really Jesus. And of course he's heard about Jesus all of his life, right? But very intelligent man, very intellectual man, but all of that just got stripped away as he saw love the way love was meant to be from the very beginning of time or whatever dimension you want to call it. And this is what's inside us, folks. This is what's inside us. I see Kayla smiling over there. Because that's it. It really is. And if we're struggling with that, we come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. And grow and grow and grow. And, Cassie and Trey aren't here today with little June. We celebrated her fourth birthday yesterday. Awesome. Wasn't expected to live beyond a few months. But what's kept it happening is God's grace. And June's a witness. June can't talk. We're not sure if June can hear very much or anything. But June is a witness, same as Derek is a witness. And you are so. And this is God. You know, back in the verses we talked about not being haughty. And part of the reason why I love this church is because people here are just so genuine. There's just a genuine love here. Okay, so I think I'm done with that. Yep. Oh, the smile. I want to be looking like that when I'm 93 and have a smile on my face like that when I'm 93. And this, and I think I will, right? And this is, look at that guy. That's Jesus beaming through there. And I want that for all of us, guys. I want that for all of us, every single one of us, no matter where we're at in life. And again, it comes by sharing our experiences with each other. There's nothing new that's around. Same thing's been going on for the last 2,000 plus years, right, since Jesus was here. Nothing new. It's just a matter of us being humble, living in humility and seeking and knowing that that's how we grow. That's how we become more Christ-like. So, you know, one of the things that I really like about Redeemer is our regular practices, and we're going to enter into our weekly communion now, Lord's Supper. We do this every week. Today can be a little bit different because people are going to serve communion to you, and they're going to speak the word of encouragement or blessing over you. Communion, you know, serves as a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice and the believer's communion with God and fellow believers. The taking of the Lord's Supper is something that needs to be done only by believers. If you're not a believer, we really are. We're so, so glad you're here. We love you, and we're glad you're here. And if you have any questions, then please just ask. And if the person you ask doesn't know, then they'll find somebody who does know, because love is gracious. For those who believe that Jesus died again and rose again to cover for their sin, please join one another at the table.